God is so good this morning and every day. You could be seated. We are excited. We are excited that God is here and is in this place. We're excited that you're here and worshiping with us this morning on behalf of Pastor Roy and Sister Loris. If this is your first time, if this is your 1,000th time, welcome. If you're watching online, welcome. It's great to have you here. There is, if this is your first time, we have a little card. You can find it out in the front if you didn't get one already. But there's just a few questions. We want to try to get to know you a little bit better. If you're willing, we'd love you to fill it out. And we can reach out to you and say hi. A couple promotions here. I'm going to do these a little bit out of order. But next Saturday, July 25th, is Ladies Outdoor Movie Night. So next Saturday, the 25th, Ladies Outdoor Movie Night. So That's at 8:30 here at the church. So please, if you're a lady, you can come to that. It's going to be an exciting time. And then also, we have a men's ministry promotion. We got a video here. Let's play that quickly.
This is an avenue through which men can make a tangible difference locally and globally by engaging their time, talent, and treasure. Partnering with North American Missions, Global Missions, and Children's Ministries, a multitude of capable, committed men continue to build the kingdom at home and abroad by constructing houses of worship, Bible schools, and orphanages, while also engaging in man-to-man evangelism. Your 2021 giving helped underwrite operational expenses at Home International Orphanage in Guatemala and purchased building materials to complete the headquarters church in Uganda. In Bangladesh, the 2021 offering also helped construct the Guy E. Rome Memorial Bible School and assisted with school expenses in Paraguay. On North American soil, Father's Day funds were invested in a new Votech building for Lighthouse Ranch for Boys in Louisiana and helped renovate a church on the Navajo Nation in New Mexico. The annual Father's Day offering is the one chance each year that our churches can bless the ministry that blesses our men. Your 2022 Father's Day offering will help underwrite meaningful ministry to men, both in your district and around the world.
Awesome. So with that, we have multiple ways you can give, whether you're just giving to give for a normal church offering or whether you want to give into the Father's Day offering. That will be, we're taking the main part of that today, but you can keep giving. There is a plastic kind of plexiglass box in the back if you want to drop something in there, if you want to make a note on it. We have little envelopes if you'd like. You can also give online. You can give in person with the plexiglass box. You can give by mail if you'd like, and you could also give via the mobile app. If you have the mobile app, that's a great way to give as well, and you can make notes in there. So if you wanted to give to the Father's Day, you just put Father's, and it would show up. So with that said, today's Father's Day. Isn't that awesome? Father's Day is awesome. Father's Day is awesome. I'm biased, obviously, because I'm a father, and I have a father, and I'm always really excited about Father's Day. I had sourdough pancakes this morning, which are now my favorite pancakes, now that I've been having those. So thank you, Julie. She didn't make them for me. My wife did. Thank you, Julie, for giving us the recipe and the sourdough starter. But Father's Day is really exciting for most people. However, we live in a society today where Father's Day can at times be painful and can at times be maybe a touchy subject for some people. Because we live in a world of humans, in a world of sin. And so because of that, sometimes fathers, human physical fathers, maybe don't always perform the role they're supposed to. And because of that, there could be hurt or wounds or trauma that are brought about because of that. And so we come into a service like this, it's like, let's all honor our fathers. And I can sense that there are times when we sit here and we're like, you don't know what my father's done to me or to somebody else. And so the message that God has for you this morning is that don't let your earthly father define what a father means to you, because Jesus wants to be a father to you. And he has a healing process, a forgiveness process to take you through if you will go through it. And so that's what God wants you to know this morning. Not a message of condemnation, not a message of, yes, it's hopeless, but a message of, there is hope, I have a healing process for you, and I am a father who cares and loves and wants what's best for you. To the fathers that are here today, at least for me, Father's Day is always difficult. Because maybe it's just my brain, but it's like, yes, you get all this stuff. Oh, you get your breakfast made for you, or I did, you know, this morning or whatever. And things are good. But I also, like, it's a reminder. My family doesn't do it. My family's really awesome. But it's a reminder, like, man, I really miss the mark at times. I'm not a perfect dad. I yell from time to times. I overreact. I set too high a standards, maybe. Definitely. Right? And so, men, God wants you to know that this is a season. And you are learning. When the baby comes out of the womb, you are not an expert. Just like we are learning to be Christians and learning to serve God, we are learning to be fathers. And so do not beat yourself up, although we have to learn and challenge ourselves. Do not beat yourself up because of the moment, but say, I need to learn from this. God, Father, help me to be a better father. And so, man, I want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter, you know, maybe the steps that have happened. Maybe some things you've done aren't perfect, whether you're a two-day-old father or whether you're a 40, like you've been a father for 40 years. God says, I can work on the past. Let's take future steps on how to be the father you want me to be. Don't let your past behind you. So, what I'd like to do, a little something different here. I'd like to have us all stand. I feel to pray this morning as a group, as a church, for these two things. I want to pray for healing for father wounds, and I want to pray for encouragement for fathers. Okay? Now, we're gonna do this too. If you're comfortable, if you're not, just keep your hands in your pocket or next to you and people will know. If you're comfortable and you can reach across to the person next to you, okay, this I know it's COVID here, 2.5 years, but if you're comfortable, if not, please put your hands in your pockets or next to you and people will know not to push you. But I'd like you to either hold hands or put your hands on the shoulder of someone next to you where appropriate, and let's pray these prayers. Let's pray that God would heal father wounds. I don't know who it is, doesn't matter. Let's pray that God would heal father wounds, and let's pray that God would encourage fathers this morning. Can you pray with me? Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, Father, for all the things you've done for us and want to do. God, we bind together today. God, we pray, Lord, for all the people that may have experienced a father that didn't give them the best example, that may not have given them the best treatment, the best situation in life, God. And because of that, they look to you, and maybe they have second thoughts, or maybe they don't think of you as the way that you want them to think of them. God, I pray that you would begin the healing process in their heart and in their mind. God, I pray that you would begin the healing process as they begin to serve you and to listen to you and to be able to trust you as their father. God, Lord, we pray. We have hands, God, Lord, on all the men and the fathers in this place. God, I pray, Lord, that you would lift them up, that you would encourage them. Yeah, God, you might have a little kick in the pants, God, of we got to do better, but also I love you and we're going to move forward in strength. We're going to move forward in love. We're going to move forward in hope. God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would guide every person in this place. God, that you would lead them closer to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You could be seated this morning. So every year we have a giveaway. My second daughter just left the building. So Mila, you get to come up here, okay? I don't know if it's a benefit or a drawback. This is my third daughter, Milena. Yeah. I don't know if it's a benefit or a drawback of having your dad be one of the pastors, but every year we have a giveaway. You should have had your name put on in here. They tried to catch you as you're walking through the door. There's names in here. And so what we have is we have gift cards to Ken's Meats and Delis. I always thought this was the coolest thing, but then one year Pastor Roy goes, hey, man, you get meat that you got to go home and grill on Father's Day. And you're like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. But you could do it on a different day. It's so funny. But before we do this, before we do the giveaway, we also give, before we do a drawing, we have two people that we don't draw for. We just give them a gift card because they are kind of representing our fathers here in the church. And so first I want to give honor for Bishop Grant. And Sister Darlene, could you stand up in honor of Bishop Grant? Bishop, I know you're watching back home. We love you and we appreciate you. And we have a gift card for you to Ken's Meats. You know, make sure to get some good meat from there. And then also the other person is our senior pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. Let's give him a hand. Praise God. Awesome. You can be seated. Everybody else, you have to get your name drawn. Okay. Okay, so we have some names in here. We have 12 gift cards to give away. Okay, so here we go. Mila, could you draw the first name? Oh, that was quick. I like this. Robert Tidwell. Okay, so I'm going to give this to you. Go ahead, Robert, come on up. Mila will give this to you right here. Oh, walk down to the step. Here we go, right here. There we go. Brother Robert, yes. Okay, let's draw another one. Evelyn, can you come up here too? Okay. Scott Graper. You hold these and give them out to the people that come down. Wait down there. Come on down, Scott. He's right over here. Evie, you can go wait in the front, right in the middle. Scott's my new neighbor, so just saying. Just kidding. Okay, the third person we have. Okay, what do we got here? You drew two. You got to pick one. Okay, here we go. Oh, it was three. Eric Seidel. Woo! Okay, draw another name. Dig in there good. Let's see here. No. Jim? No, seriously? I said when I took this over, he wasn't going to win again. I promised he wasn't going to win. Oh, my goodness. Every year, Jim Rivas and Scott Leonardson won this thing. Congratulations, Brother Jim. You also are close to Marshall, for the record. Okay. Wow, it's in the family. John Seidel. Not John Rivas. That was a... Oh, we got an extra one here. What's this name? Kelvin Wells. Yes, Josh Stone. Look at that. Making some dinner. Now, I went there to get these gift cards, and I'm reminded, if you've never been there, go ahead and draw one. I'm reminded of the Burgundy Pepper Steaks. They do their own with their own marinade. Phenomenal. But also, the Mesquite Chicken Breasts are my favorite, so I would highly recommend those. All these people in Marshall, sounds like we have to have a grill out. Ryan Hittestorf. Yes. My soul is encouraged. It's a sign, gentlemen. It's a sign. Okay, here we go. This one's not in Marshall, so. Jerry Simmons. Congratulations, Brother Jerry. Evelyn, how many more do we got there? Three. Okay, I thought this said Kevin Bacon. It says Kevin Brown. Brother Kevin Brown, not Kevin Bacon. Oh, this is good. Brother Tim Powell. Yes. And the last name, Evelyn, do we have one more? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Brother James Hawk. Woo! Awesome. Well, thank you, men, for all of that. Can you take this back to our pew? Thank you. You guys can go sit down. Thank you for your help. It's exciting. If you didn't get drawn, I'm sure you'll get drawn next year. I will make sure to leave Jim Rivas' names out just for everybody else, okay? I'm trying to keep his name out. So, Sister Linda, when we do this next year, let's talk and let's just make sure, you know. Phil and I last year were going to put our names in like 20 times. It's still that. No, we didn't do that, but it was an idea. So another thing we like to do is have a little bit of a maybe a chaotic moment here, and we're going to try to do this fast. If you're a child under the 12 and under, go ahead and stand up. Yes, run down here, grab a roll of duct tape for your dad, and take it to your dad and give him a big hug and tell him he's doing a great job. Wait. One roll. No, one roll. Those are my kids. One roll. Oh, nice. Pick one. There we go. Okay. Yeah, if they're too young and you got to help them, bring them on up. Yes. Yes, pick a good color. For those of you that are wondering, there was some really good uses last year. I know Kirby took a couple colors and redid a bike, right? I put my Christmas lights up with it. They're still sticking in some spots, right? So I heard some really good stories. Share your stories about what you use your duct tape for. It's lots of fun. Okay, one per person. Take one. Okay, so now, if you are over 12 and your dad is here, come on up and grab a roll of duct tape and take it to your dad. However, especially you young people, you got to give him a hug and tell him he's doing a great job, okay? Hug. Let's go. 12 and older. If your dad's here. Yep, I see you, JJ. Your dad's here. Oh, this is so much fun. Remember, hugs. You're doing a great job. There we go. Okay, this is awesome. Brown. Oh, we got a lot of great colors. Pink is almost out. Red is gone. Blue is gone. Oh, one. There's some blues. Never mind. Okay, so now, if you're a dad out here and you don't have any children in service with you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, stand up, actually. Let's stand up if you're able. Okay, see these men? Somebody sitting next to these men. Go get them. Jack, can you get one for Eric? Your dad got you one? Okay. If you come, get one for a guy standing next to you who's a dad who doesn't have a roll of duct tape. They get it. Let's give them a hand. You're still a dad, even if your child is not here today. And now listen, if you're pregnant and you haven't told anybody yet, just don't, you don't have to rat anybody out. What you can do is after church, maybe come find me and steal one and just say, hey, I whatever, just grab a roll of duct tape. No one will notice. Your husband can still be honored because we believe he is a father because you have a living child inside of you. Yes, a living being whose heart is beating. Awesome. Awesome. This is awesome. Oh, I forgot one. This is why I had so many kids, just to get the extra rolls of duct tape. Totally worth it. I told James Novak this morning, I said, he goes, Happy Father's Day. I said, he has one child right now. I said, just so you know, it's not like you get more gifts with four. So if you're thinking that's a strategy, I would not use that as a reason to get more. Oh, Pastor Roy gave me another one. I'm not having another gift, Pastor Roy, unless God does some miracle, you know? That better not be some prophecy thing you're doing here. Casey, this is not good. Oh, it's so awesome. It's awesome for Father's Day. I hope men, fathers, I hope when you go home, you have a fun day. You have a relaxing day. Relaxing doesn't mean you have to sit around like I chose for my Father's Day. I'm going to be making my own meal. My wife said, I'll make you whatever you want. I said, I want to make my own. I'm making pizza. I like to make pizza. That's relaxing for me. So find something that's relaxing. Wives, children, dote on your dad a little bit today. Okay, it's Father's Day. We can do that. So this morning we have two speakers. They're both going to, I've asked them just to come share what's on their heart. And the first speaker I want to introduce is a good friend of mine. We have lived together for many years. We have grown up together. We have quizzed together. I have literally saved his life from a pool. True story. But what I would tell you about this guy is a couple things. Number one, this man loves God. And he wants to do what's best for him and his family and what God wants. Also, I would tell you, everything this guy does, he's good at. Like, it's like, he's really good at it. I really appreciate that about him. And so, let's give my friend and Eric Seidel a big hand as he comes up and shares.
Well, it didn't fall coming up the steps, so that's a good start. I've got a couple of stories about my dad and my grandpa, and then things that I've learned from those, and hopefully you can take something from that. The first story actually starts with my uncle. His name was David. Every time I would go to a family gathering when I was very young, was the first person I would look for. And of course, I'm going to fight a little bit to keep it together here. He was the brightest light that I remember growing up. He always smiled. He always laughed. On my dad's side of the family, every time he was in the room, everyone else in the room lit up. They grew happier. The reason he is relevant in a story about my grandpa is because my Uncle David had Down syndrome. And in the 1950s and 60s, the accepted solution to a child with Down syndrome was that you would send them to a home where they were equipped to deal with that, which generally meant that they would herd them into rooms and stalls, and when they would act out, you would hose them down with hoses until they would settle down. My grandma and grandpa went to see the home where they were considering sending him, saw this, and decided that that was not something that they could do for their child. And they, in spite of the fact that they already had multiple children, decided to raise their child with Down syndrome at home. And then had multiple more children. A good Catholic family. But my grandpa was a very, reclusive is the word that comes to mind, but reserved person. But he poured a lot of himself into his children. One of the last memories I've had of him was asking if he could give me a hug. And wanted to make sure that I didn't feel like it was weird because I was an adult. And I, of course, didn't feel it was weird. He was my grandpa and I loved him. But much of what he did was pour himself into activities, teaching them how to do things. He loved them. He poured himself into them with his time and with his energy. What is this story about? I learned from my grandfather and from my father, he does many of these same things. Pour yourself into your children. Pour love into your children. And if you pour yourself into your children, you pour your love into your children, they will pour that love into those around them as well. It's a practical impossibility that if you love your child, that they will not be a loving person. No matter how hard they try to not love people, they will. This is my experience. Perhaps you have a different experience, but that is my experience. My next story. My father, when I was a child, perhaps you don't know, but you can. If someone hits a deer with their car, to be clear, this is not one of the stories about when my dad hit a deer with his car, though there are a few. If someone hits a deer with their car, the sheriff, deputy, or state trooper, or police officer can tag that deer, and either the person who hit the deer or someone else can take the meat from that deer. And my dad happened upon someone who hit a deer and brought that meat home to my family. That has stuck with me since I was probably 9 or 10. And it stands out to me because it was at a time when our family, we were doing okay, but I was very aware that things were always tight. So it was a way that my dad found, he found another way to provide for our family. So it taught me to always find ways to provide. Always find ways to provide. We think so much in our society that provision is only having a job, only getting paid and then paying bills. But provision is whatever you find to take care of what needs to be taken care of. Finally, and this is not a particular story, but a series of things. My dad, for those of you who don't know, he's the executive. He's one of the pastors here. He's the executive pastor. Over the course of my life, he's been in ministry, and I know of at least 3 times that he told me of another that he was considered for pastoring a church throughout various districts. And twice he removed his name. And another time, a church asked him specifically, do you feel that this is, that you are called to be the pastor here? And he told them no. And another time, as best I understand it, he didn't feel like it was something he should pursue, so he stepped back. So why is this story relevant? For me, looking at this, he didn't let ambition determine his next steps. He looked at what he should do. He looked at his family. He looked at what God wanted from him. And he chose his next steps based on that. So while there are many things about a father, and I learn every day that, as Peter said, it's a constant learning experience. These are the 3 things that when I started thinking about what I wanted to say that stood out to me. Pour love into your children. You'll never lose out on pouring love into your children. Provide for your family in whatever way comes up. And don't let ambition rule you, because ambition can pull away from those other things. If you let ambition try and control you, you will lose out on opportunities to pour love into your children. You'll lose out on opportunities to provide for those around you because you're too focused on yourself. And that's what I've got.
Thank you, Eric. And what Eric doesn't say in all of that is that Eric is an awesome dad, and he does pour love into his son, and he doesn't seek ambition. And Eric, not only have you had good examples, you're choosing to learn from them. And so that's awesome. I commend that. The next speaker we have, you all know very well. There's not a lot of introductions. I was not her roommate. But we have Sister Lois coming to speak, and I just want to say that this, you know, when I thought about Father's Day, we're all in different seasons in our lives, either as fathers or with our fathers. And Sister Lois is in a different season than many of us right now. And I wanted her to share what was on her heart. I felt like God had something that she is experiencing now that matters to all of us, regardless of our season. So could we give our senior pastor and his wife a hand as she comes up to speak?
Okay, going to be sticking it, and I need my five helpers. I need Evie Sandin. I need Stella Stone, Isaiah, Mayla Simmons, and Josiah. And you can all stand up here. So can you stand up here so people can see you? I want you to stand up here. We're up there. Now, I picked these people because... You can stand up there, Evie. Go around the steps and get up there, all of you, because I want everybody to see you. I want you to stand right up here, Isaiah. People have to see you. Now, I picked these because they kind of remind me, their dads, I think. Now, you might find something out that I don't know about their dads. We'll see, huh? Okay, I'm going to start with Evie. Can you read that? Or is my writing too bad?
I can read it.
What does it say?
Loving, no favorites.
Right. So that's what, when I think of my dad, I think of that. You know, I had four sisters and I was the second. What are you?
Second.
Right. And you feel... I never felt that my dad loved anybody more than he loved me. How about you? You can be honest. Do you think he loves you more than your sisters?
No.
Okay, he does not love her more sisters. But I know that your dad took Sophie to New York and you didn't get to go. Were you upset about that?
No.
And why not?
Because it was Sophie's golden birthday and she got to go by herself.
Her turn. And when it's your, you'll get a turn, right? Well, do you know that when I was a kid, you know, the only vacation my dads took us to were relatives, and I didn't get any farther than Illinois. And then, you know what? My sister and I left home, and they had a little bit more money. There was five kids in the family. And my youngest three got to go to the Black Hills and Silver Dollar City, and I got nothing. That's kind of disappointing, isn't it? Yeah, but you know what? I still love my dad. And Stella. Can you read this one? Maybe you can't read my writing. It says, even-tempered. Would you think your dad's that? You think your dad is even-tempered? I think I should have picked Joe instead of... You know what? I never heard my dad never yelled at us kids. You know, five girls, that's a miracle. But I'll maybe explain why. Did your dad yell at you?
Yes.
Oh, I guessed wrong, because I've never seen him lose his temper. But you know what? My dad, he did yell at the cows. And you know, one time he got so mad, he hit one in the head and he killed it. I'm telling the truth. The only good thing about it is it ended up in the freezer. And talk about alternate ways to provide for people. You know, we killed a cow every year, but this one came a little early. And Isaiah, can you read this one?
Hardworking and serious.
Hardworking and serious.
This is one, maybe I'm wrong about your dad, but... My dad farmed. He got up early, stayed up late. He used to fall asleep in the chair. Mom would have to wake him up to go to bed. And he worked in the factory. He worked swing shift. He worked 1 week, days, next week, second shift, third week. He worked graveyard. And that was a pits because we had to be quiet. He was a hardworking guy. But you know what? I have one complaint about that. Maybe you don't. Does your dad do anything fun with you?
Yes.
So what does he do?
Play Legos with me.
Oh, that's fun. That's something. That's good. Legos. Yeah, he likes Legos too. But you know, when I look back at my dad, it's unfortunate that the only thing that I did with my dad that was our thing is we watched the Packers in their heyday when they had Bart Starr and Super Bowl I and II and the Ice Bowl. That was our thing. I could name the whose number was who, what their name was, what position they played. I was into it with him. That was our thing. He and I would watch football every Sunday because they only played on Sunday then. That was our thing. But it's sad that that's the only thing I could come up with. Now, this one.
Context with a simple life.
Okay, my dad was content with a simple life. Now, in case you don't know it, the Simmons are trying to sell their house, or they're currently living in a camper. And I think they're content. My dad, we had four kids at the time, and we lived in a rented house, and then they sold the farm that we rented. So we had to buy a trailer and put it on our farm right next to my grandma. But the trailer was too small for four kids. So my oldest sister got to live with grandma right next door. She slept there. And then another kid came along. So I got to go to grandma's. So it was kind of a weird situation. So they lived in that trailer till my grandma died. Yeah, we ate in the trailer and we slept different places, but we watched TV at grandma's because we didn't have one. But the thing is, I appreciate now when I think back, that house actually belonged to my dad. My grandma lived there, and when I was real young, my grandpa also. But she lived there till she had to move to a nursing home, and then we took over the thing. So it's not all bad living in a small space, because I have a lot of good memories of that. So that's why you remind me of my dad. And then, last but not least, Josiah, can you read that?
Trustworthy and honest.
Trustworthy and honest.
Okay. Now I know your dad buys and sells Legos, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And now when he gets a Lego set, does he make sure every little piece is in that Lego set when he buys it? Does he put it together with you?
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. So when you buy a Lego set from him, it's going to have every single piece. There's not going to be a piece missing. Well, my dad, we had cows when I was little, but then he sold them. But he sold hay. And he would, now this is something dads do. You know, he had only girls, so he didn't make 70-pound bales. He made 35-pound bales, so we could sling them. And then when he wanted to sell them, he would get out the bathroom scale, and he would check a couple and make sure they were kind of in line. And so he'd sell them for what the average weight was. So he was an honest and a trustworthy man. And so that's why I picked you, because I think of that, your dad is an honest and trustworthy man. So you guys all have helped me explain what my dad is. And you can all return back to your seat. But what I want to finish up on is, it kind of goes along with what Eric talked about. You know, most girls will marry someone like their dad. But I did not. And my sisters didn't either. And I'll tell you why. I want you to know, I truly loved my dad. And I never felt I had to forgive him for anything he ever did. He was a good dad. But there was one problem. It wasn't that we were poor. We always had food. We always had shelter. We always had, you know, clothes. It wasn't that. It was he was a quiet man. He was too quiet. You know, Roy Trott always jokes about when he met my dad, he really thought that my dad didn't like him because he wouldn't talk to him. And if you know my dad, you understand that. In Proverbs 1:8, it reads, my son, or I could say my child, hear the instructions of thy father. Well, the problem was my dad never gave instructions. I look over my childhood, and he taught me two things. This is bad. When I got my driver's license, he taught me how to drive a stick. Now, that was good, because I can still drive a stick. And he taught me what he thought he taught me, how to change a tire. I've never changed a tire since, and I probably couldn't because of the impact tools now. You know, I really wished he had taught me how to check the oil and air up a tire, but he taught me how to change a tire, which was worthless. And we had one discussion, which I wouldn't even call a discussion. It was one question he asked me that might have changed my life. Right before he walked down the aisle on my wedding, he said, "You know, you really don't have to do this." That was my one thing he ever said. So I married someone that could talk. I mean, someone that could be serious when I needed to be serious and yet could be a life of party. You know, they said, how can you be married this? I said, without Roy, my life would be boring because I'm too much like my dad. So when we had our daughter, we made sure that their relationship started at birth. You know, they did things together. They four-wheeled together. They trap-shooped together. And once or twice a year, he took her on a dinner date, and they shopped for an Easter dress or a Christmas dress, and what they talked about. I never asked. And I still feel to this day that she could come up to Roy or I, and we could talk about anything, whether it's serious or some life issues. In conclusion, I want to say I'm purposely maybe been a little more negative about my dad, because I want you to remember what I'm saying. And people tend to remember the negative instead of the positive. And it's not my goal that you run out and you just smother your kids with a bunch of instructions on how to do things and how to live life. I just want you to think about the relationship you have with them, and that you have a relationship that develops where you can speak into their life when they need to be spoken to, and that you will continually ask God for the wisdom and understanding that's needed to have that relationship with them. And thank you for your time.
So I talk a lot. 3:50. I'll be done by 12. I want to prove them wrong. No. Father's Day. My father's not here today. Happy Father's Day to you. Love my dad. I joke a lot about my dad spanking us a lot and all of this stuff. But there's one thing that I just want to leave with you today when it comes to fathers. Remember, you know, as a son, you have that, you're 16 years old and you're in the garage and your dad's going to talk to you about life and going to be real serious. And at 16, you think your dad is the dumbest creature on the planet, don't you? 16 guys, you know it all. You know how to fix everything, you know. My dad never had that talk with me at 16. We talked about a lot of things. My dad was the only pastor that I've ever had. And a lot of you, he was the only pastor that you've ever had, other than myself, over the last few years. But I remember I was a little older, and we were having a conversation. And in that conversation, it kind of went something like this. He said, "Son, I may not have done everything right when you were growing up. I wanted to provide the best I could provide. I wanted to give you the best that I could give you. And at times, I just didn't have the means or the resources." And I understood that. I was a father at this point. I was going through some struggles in life. One thing he told me that has stuck with me to this very day, and I was thinking about this a lot yesterday and last night. He said it was more important for me as a father to teach you how to live than to teach you how to make a living. Now that may not mean a whole lot to you today, but I believe that I am who I am today because my father taught me how to live and didn't focus so much on how important it is or what you do to make a living. My dad was not a plumber. He'd tell me someday, "Son, I don't know anything about plumbing. I was not a plumber." My dad was a carpenter and he was a pastor. So I learned a lot of things, but most important thing that he ever taught me in life was he taught me how to live. He taught me what it meant to have character, what it meant and to have integrity, what it meant to be honest, what it meant to tell the truth. So how you live, fathers, a little bit of advice here. How you live is far more important than how you make a living. And as your pastor, it's my responsibility to teach you how to live, not teach you how to make a living. So we're going to stand. My 3 minutes is up. I want to thank Brother Eric, and I want to thank Sister Lois, and I want to thank Brother Peter Sandin. And I want to read one scripture in closing here. We're going to close a little different today. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 in the NIV, it says this: "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." Just as in fact you are doing. Paul, when he writes his letter to the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's a whole lot of what I would just call little one-liners. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. He goes through all these little one-liners. And this is just one of those things he just throws in at random. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." One thing I love about the men of Calvary Gospel Church is their ability to encourage one another and to build one another up. Why is that? Because we've had a bishop that has taught us how to live, not necessarily how to make a living. And for that, if you teach your children how to live, they will learn how to make a living. So what we're going to do here as we close this out, I'm just going to ask our men. I want all of our men. We have some great men here. I want all of our men to come down to the front. Don't have to be a father. Some of you have had tremendous fatherly influence over so many of the young men in this congregation. Thank you.
I know some of you may not be able to come down because of struggling with getting to the front. And I applaud our elders. I love and honor and cherish the relationships that we have with our elder brothers. But one of the things that makes this congregation, that makes these men so incredible, is their ability to encourage one another and to build each other up. So as we close this out, our ladies, I want you to join in. It's Father's Day. You had your Mother's Day. You got your flowers, we got our steaks. Your flowers will be beautiful all season. Our steaks will take a lot of seasoning. But as we close this out, I know there's a lot of hurt. I had a brother not too long ago. He had to just open up and share some of the issues with Father and how to approach it, how do I deal with it. I haven't always been a perfect father. I'm not perfect by any means. I've told my daughter many times, because I felt this was necessary, that you saw me angry. You saw me say some things, heard me say some things I should never have said. And that was wrong. You see, little did I realize that I was teaching her how to live. Even in my mistakes. Because you teach them how to make it right. You admit when you're wrong. You cast that pride aside and say it's more important that I teach my child a lesson. Sometimes they come hard, dads. But I just want us to pray. I just want us to just touch the shoulder, put your arm around the brother that's next to you. I love the song, "He's My Brother." I know I'm asking you to change the songs you're singing, but it's an honor to stand here in front of all of these men today. So let's pray that God would teach us how to teach our children how to live. I want all of our brothers, just all get in here. Brother Dave, we got you back there. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my brothers that are here today. I thank you for each and every one of them. Lord, so many of these men have gone through so much in their lives, and Lord, they've overcome, they've pushed through the struggles. But Lord, we're not immune to struggles. We still fight some things. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers. I thank you for my elders. I thank you for the young brothers, all the way down to the very young men, the 4, 3, 2. As we watch them worship during worship service, Lord, we want to teach them how to worship. We want to teach them how to pray. We want to teach them how to love. We want to teach them how to respect. I want to be able to build integrity. And I want to be able to build honor. Lord, this is how it's learned, by godly men teaching their children, but also by godly men teaching each other. Lord, iron sharpeneth iron. And I thank you, God, for the men of Calvary Gospel Church. Lord, some of the men, they don't know how to work power tools, and some of the men don't know how to run a computer. But God, you put us all together in a unique body. Where, Lord Jesus, as your word says, as Paul said, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every one of my brothers here today. They've had such an impact in my life. thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And let's not neglect just lifting our hands and begin to worship God. So, man, if we could just lift our hands up and we could just begin to worship the Lord. Maybe you're here and you're struggling. Maybe it's been a long time since you've actually lifted your hands and worshiped God. Let's just worship Him together. God, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, because of who you are. I thank you, God, because of what you have done. Lord, you love us. You love us, Lord. If you see a brother, you feel a need to go pray with a brother, just make your way at this time to a brother. Ladies, you can lift your hands and you can thank God. Begin to pray. Fathers, you can find your children if they're here and pray with them.
All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. How beautiful you are, and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so.
Baptism here this morning, so if you're welcome to stay and celebrate that with us. I know some of you have a lot of things happening today because of Father's Day. I want to thank all of you for coming out and worshiping with us, and call your father today. He's not here. Maybe you don't have the best relationship with your father, but sometimes we have to, as a Christian, have to take and make that step. say, hey, Dad, it's me. It's been a while. I love all of you. Shake hands with a brother. Shake hands with a sister. And have a very, very blessed day. God bless you.